the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line. For as I have said, some of us love it too much. We like that problem. We like keeping it going because we have certain advantages that come from it. Complaining and whining and blaming. It is a problem, but psychologically, mentally, we need to choose to get away from it in the church. We're talking about born-again believers who do not have a trace of prejudice or racism in their lives or hearts. Part 17, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. We may have come over on different ships, but we're on the same boat now, as someone has aptly said. Part 71 in the series, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 8, 75, still rolls on. For we preach the gospel in every message, but every now and then God wants me to deal with us. Day 875, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1236, since January the 1st, 2016. The Holy Bible reads 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and verse 13. For as the body is one, and faith, and hath rather many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're one body whether we want to be or not. Our nature, our sinful nature, loves division. We love racism, we love prejudice, we love thinking that we're better than others. Black and white on both sides. And that's just the truth. There are white races and there are black races, rooted in pride. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for this past day, for it has indeed been a victorious day for our family, especially. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us a mighty long way. And Lord, I thank you for how you have blessed my children through the tough love you led me to give them growing up. And as I told them today, I left everything on the field. I don't have anything else really to say. But just remember God's holy word and obey it. And what a joy it is to be able to talk to your oldest children and to be thankful and grateful that they have been raised properly and that they are serving you and doing amazing things, magnificent things, for your glory, praise, and honor. And what a testimony. And Lord, I pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, continue to bless all of my children as they grow up and go out into the sin-cursed world, that they will never forget what they learned at my house. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost, both black and white, red and yellow and brown, everybody, for they're all precious in your sight. Lord, help them to hear the gospel no matter how weak I may be. For you have done this down through the history of the church, taking people who are absolutely nothing. And Lord, you're getting ready to make me tear up and do great things with nothing. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for your people who love us and pray for us all around the globe, and who we have the privilege of praying for as well. We pray that you'll save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. Help me to preach short tonight, for I don't feel strong. I feel very weak for some reason. I was strong this morning, but now I'm not. But you always show up and show out, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. I don't know how you do it. I don't know why you do it. And I don't know why you use a wretch like me. But I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Revive us again in the church. Save those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Perkins, one of God's faithful servants, he was not a fly-by-night Christian or preacher. He stuck by the stuff. He hung in there. He has not quit. And as old as he is, he's still fired up and ready to go. And we should be too, as young as we are, fired up and ready to go. We have too many Christians today, both black and white. They're not fired up and they're not ready to go for God. They're only concerned about themselves, but John Perkins is different. Dr. John Perkins said, the reason we haven't solved the race problem, what W.E.B. Du Bois called the problem of the century, the problem of the color line in America, after hundreds of years, is that people, apart from God, help me somebody, are trying to create unity while people under God who already have unity, my God help us, are not living out the unity we possess in Christ, which makes us hypocrites, phonies, and fakes. We're not real. This should not be a problem at this point. That's what we're saying. We should not be under the control and the influence of a false prophet who did not know God, who spoke very elegantly and used his education to influence 100 years of life in America. Thank God for those pockets where black and white folk get along. Thank God for Charles Stanley, who, without protesting, said, let them come. It's not an issue. He didn't even talk about it. Black folks have souls. We're going to see them just like we see everybody else. Let them come. That's how it should be done, without question. I would imagine the church is half black, and nobody says anything about it. Nobody thinks anything about it. And that pastor loves white folk and black folk like Jesus. And it's a good thing, automatically. No special messages, no special emphasis. Just doing the right thing. See, when you commit to doing the right thing, you can get something done by the Spirit of God and not have to make a big deal about it. Not have to make a special push. Bless God. And I'm not too sure about that phrase, but we got some bless God. We need to win black souls. No. You need to win souls, okay? Whoever is a soul, you need to reach out to them sincerely, no matter how your grandfather felt about them or your father feels about them. And every now and then you might have to pull Bubba aside and say, oh, look here, Bubba. We're not going to have that mess right here. And I know you're part of the KKK. And I know your son is, but don't bring that mess in here, man, because I'll church you. I'll bring you before the church, man. You need to get up out of that. Because we ain't playing that here, Bubba. Bubba will get the message. Because Bubba's being blessed in that church. You just have to sometimes just look at folk and eyes and say, no, we ain't playing that, man. So don't do that. Beloved, in our last message in this series, even though I feel very weak, I feel my help coming, as the old preachers used to say. My help coming from the Lord. Somebody quoted that this morning in the early wee hours of the morning as I was driving down a beautiful highway. By the way, a highway where Negroes used to be lynched. Negroes used to be killed. I'm telling you, by my lonesome, with my black self and my black family, I'm in a long highway. Man, it's better than 35. All by myself. I saw only one police officer, and he waved at me. He said, keep on going, Negro. Keep on going. In the wee hours of the morning, man. I'm not talking about 10 o'clock at night. I'm talking about 3 and 4. I had to get here. Ain't nobody bothered me. Walked into the gas station, gassed up, rather nobody bothered me. I'm talking about deep South Texas, man, where they have guns for real. For real, brother. Nobody said, we saw some white folks. Nobody said, nigga, what you doing here? You on the wrong road, nigga. Nobody. I love me some Texas, man. I don't know what's wrong. What's the problem? What's the problem? I don't know what's going on out in West Texas, but I love me some Middle Texas. I love it. There's some good white folk a long time ago, man. I was doing some studies at the University of Georgia. My wife and I had just gotten married, and I used to love going to the library to do my writing at the University of Georgia. Even then, almost 40 years ago, I wrote an article. I can't find it now. Titled, Thank God for the Good White People. Oh, yes. I know some black folk don't like, they kill him. Like, no, they haven't killed me. They haven't killed my children. I'm not saying they won't, but they haven't killed me. In fact, anytime I've been pulled over, I've been treated with utmost respect as a black man. Because first of all, I'm going to have my stuff ready. And if I don't, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to play games. I'm going to say, sir, I don't have my stuff together. Here's what I have. I deserve whatever you want to do. I was doing a podcast today, but God gave me the thought. Listen to me very carefully. God gave me the thought. I know some of you strident black folk are not going to like this. But God gave me a thought, man. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That not only should wives submit to their husbands, and I do not believe the evangelical teaching that a husband should submit to his wife at all. I know someone, I'm going to lose half of y'all right there. I don't believe that. It's not in the Bible. Okay, that's something made up by evangelicals to keep women happy. I don't believe that. But God spoke to my heart while I was driving down the road, man. I had lemonade. If you have never had some lemonade with some stevia, some real pure stevia, God bless your heart. Cold. And with a little apple cider vinegar. By the way, that's been a part of this poor preacher for the first time in my life, in my Christian life. By the grace of God, I've lost 40 pounds. That's a miracle. Listen to me very carefully. And a part of that was drinking lemonade with apple cider vinegar. Every now and then, a little red wine vinegar. I'm going to lose about a third of you right there. But that's okay. I said apple cider vinegar and red wine vinegar. And I don't know how it did it, but it ate that fat, man, for real. And so I would recommend you do that. I also would recommend that you do a shake that my doctor told me to make every morning. It has, of course, a little stevia, but it has this green powder called moringa in it. And this other powder called berberine or peel. You just break the peel up every morning. It just helped eat the fat, man. I didn't do a whole lot of dieting. I just did that. Be that as it may, to make this trip late into the night, I had me some lemonade for the first time ever. And that's probably the reason why I got sick. I don't know. But I did two energy deals, you know, 5-hour energy. I did two in two glasses. And by the grace of God, for the first time since I was a young preacher, I drove all night. I said, all righty then, by the grace of God, and made it on time. And I give God the glory. But anyway, as I was thinking while everybody else was sleeping, including my wife, who was supposed to support me and submit to my leadership and stay awake, she did not. And bless her heart, she never has. But that's another subject. And so I had this thought in the early wee hours of the morning that men, big old bad men, it's a beautiful thing when they learn to submit to men who are called in leadership over them. So when you're driving down the road, for whatever reason why the police officer, the white police officer, called you down and told you to stop, you need to submit, man. I ain't submitting. He's a racist. He ain't called, but what he pulled, what you pulled me for? Because I'm driving as a black man? No. Listen, first of all, don't speed. Don't break the law and you'll be fine. Even in deep South Texas. Submit. Say, yes, sir. There's nothing wrong with it. I know you don't like it. I know you don't like it as a black man. Everything in you goes against it. But you just say, yes, sir. If he tells you to get out of the car, get out of the car. Hands free. Yes, sir. Don't ask stupid questions like, what seems to be the problem? What have I done? No, no, no. Just submit. He may be wrong, but you'll see tomorrow. Don't make any false moves, man. Don't try to get back in the car. Don't do stupid stuff. Don't run, man. Don't jerk. Because, see, these fellas, the reason why white folk are killing, and I know we got some bad cops, they're killing young men today because we as parents, baby boomers, listen to me very carefully, we have not taught our young black men submission. I know you don't like it. But if you're not a police officer, Jack, he's a minister of Christ. He's a minister of God. And if he tells you to stop, you better stop. Don't take off running, man. Don't drive off. Talking about he's a racist. He may be, but he's in charge. Come out alive. So, beloved, in our last message in this series, we saw how there should be lines of division based on race or class when it comes to Christian fellowship. This is because we have all been saved through Christ. This salvation is represented in this passage as being baptized by the Spirit into one body. Are you born again? You need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. If you still hate black folk and you still hate white people, white folk, something is wrong somewhere. You don't have Christ living on the inside. This one body and drinking into the Spirit, let's look closer at what being baptized in the Spirit means. One of the most important rites in Christianity, if you will, is that of baptism. The ritual of baptism, or the ordinance of baptism, not ritual, symbolizes one's acceptance into the body of Christ. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Although baptism is not salvation itself, and so many people have that confused. I got baptized at the age of 12, I think, twice. Once in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, the pillar and ground of the truth, you know, Pentecostal Church, they always have these long names, Incorporated. And Mount Shiloh Baptist Church. So if I was deceived in the thinking I was saved, I never thought I was saved. I went down a wet, dry center and came up a wet center. Baptism cannot save your soul. You must believe on Christ. And speaking of that, I'm going to go ahead and cut it short tonight, as I have said many things that are not in my notes. Have you been born again? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? See, the blood of Jesus will wash away the philosophy and the psychology of W.E.B. Du Bois out of your heart. You may not have a great fellowship with white folks or black folks, but you will love them from your heart, and God will know it. And when God gives you the opportunity to show that love, you do it. I'm telling you, there are some good black folk in this country because of Christ. There are some good white folk in this country because of Christ. There's some good brown folk in this country because of Christ. And there are some good yellow folk, red folk, because of Jesus Christ, who will allow God to use them to move heaven and earth to help you. And that's a fact. And so you need to humble yourself and receive that help and be a blessing yourself. But have you been born again? That is the issue. Have you been saved? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian listening today, here are three things that you need to do tonight. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins of prejudice and racism. You already know what your sins are because you know your heart. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. For if you love Jesus, you're going to love everybody. It's just automatic. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost by any means necessary. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him tonight, right where you are, for salvation from sin and from hell. I did it some 40 years ago by the grace of God, and you can do it tonight. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Some call it the Romans Road. Some call it the plan of salvation. Whatever you do, make sure you do it. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death all day long." The wages of sin is death, my dear friend. We die physically because of sin. That's why we die. These beautiful lives are snuffed out because of sin in our nature, in our lives, and actual sins we commit. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves us and he does not want us to go to hell. In fact, he wants us to go to heaven. That's why he died on the cross for our sins, to redeem us. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, dear friend, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I know you probably have never heard that before, because most preachers don't preach on it anymore. But you heard it tonight, and you're responsible for what you hear. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell forever, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your soul saved by believing on Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. And I take my time every day when I preach to make the gospel plain, because somebody made it plain for me that it was not church membership, that it was not religious work, that he was not singing in the choir, that he was not getting baptized, simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that. Yes, God made it easy, not hard, for wicked sinners like us to be saved. And we ought to be thankful. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart today, no matter your religious affiliation, and pray and ask him to save your soul. I'll be glad, because you could die tomorrow, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. As I believe with all of my heart, you died for my sins, you suffered, you bled, you died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Forgive me for all of the sins that I committed by breaking your Ten Commandments. I understand that I deserve hell, but now I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For more information, to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my article, my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email me at any of our emails, wherever you are, on whatever site you're on, at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. Also, if you have a prayer request, we pray for thousands of folks and have done so for 40 years. And we never cease. We may not mention their names. There are too many. But we do pray for the new ones by name. We pray for everybody else generally who has sent in a prayer request over the past 40 years of ministry. So email us, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Thank you for your prayers. Pray for me. I'm not out of the woods yet. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good. Is my prayer.